This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome on into Game Day, everybody. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Cullen Steele in the studio as we get ready for kickoff. High noon in the Caesars Superdome against the New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And get those rattles ready, gentlemen.
It's rattler time, baby. I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited.
You've been waiting, and it's fine. Your wish has been granted.
I'm excited. I think it's going to go very badly, personally. Like, if I was making prognostications.
Ooh.
But I'm excited about it. Let's be real. I mean, like, my longstanding take is that rookies struggle in the NFL. That's the way of life. That doesn't mean you shouldn't play them. That doesn't mean that they can't be good. That doesn't mean they can't get better. But you're asking a lot of that kid today. Like, this is I kind of put it this way, during the week, is like, hey, if I before the season said, I will give you a button, you have to pick two games where you start your backup rookie quarterback and you throw him into the fire, which games would you pick? They would not be these two games. They would not be back-to-back short weeks where you have a limited time to plan, particularly not when the team you're facing has 10 days to prepare. Now, they haven't had 10 days to know that the backup would be in there, but I still don't like it.
I hope you are fueling up for game day. Luke Augusta just hooked me up with some coffee, getting ready for
a
noon kickoff, like I mentioned that. Also, 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon Bobby Aber will be joining us for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. And obviously, we were talking about Spencer Rattler there, folks.
Oh, we didn't say his name, did we?
Right, if you didn't hear, Derek Carr has suffered an oblique injury. He's definitely going to miss this game. And, you know, speculation
most likely
is
Thursday.
Right,
yeah.
Thursday night football right afterwards against the Denver Broncos.
It's hard to imagine a guy who's not ready to go for Sunday will suddenly be ready to go for Thursday.
Like,
yeah, it just doesn't work. I don't think it works that way. It's just not enough time. If it was Sunday, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I think you're looking at two games of Spencer. So let's see what he can do.
Talking about those injuries, looking at our LCMC health update, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Obviously, Derek Carr in that number of being out for this matchup. Also, Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz. We have Will Harris and Pete Werner out for the Saints, definitely. And then questionable is a Peyton Turner, a Lucas Patrick. Kendra Miller also questionable.
Yeah, we don't have to call him questionable anymore. He's back.
He is back.
Yeah, he's listed as questionable, but it's not questionable for health. So they kind of made that decision yesterday. They added him to the active roster. They moved Will Harris to injured reserve. So that opened up that roster spot. They elevated Jonathan Abram and Chris Reed from the practice squad. So you didn't – I was curious whether they would do it that way, whether they might give, say, Kendra, hey, we're going to wait one more week and we're going to sign Jonathan Abram to the active roster. Instead, they used Will Harris's roster spot to bring Kendra Miller back, which I think is the smart move because I need something. I need something on offense that is more than Alvin Kamara running the ball. But you're still getting Jonathan Abram. I think this is his second elevation from the practice squad, so you get one more before you have to sign him to the active roster. But I expect him to be the guy today. I think he's going to kind of fill in that role, at least based on what we saw last week.
Yeah, you mentioning, obviously, Will Harris, I said, was out. He's really out. They say
he's
put
on
him
injured
in
reserve.
Injured reserve.
Right.
Looking at also, you mentioned Jonathan Abram, also Chris Reed, have been elevated to the active roster from the practice squad. If you're not aware, Chris Reed, a guard for this team, you know, you look
guard
some of the names
he's played a lot
you look
center.
At, you're like, wait a minute, who is that?
Well, I think so. That to me is kind of insurance. I think it depends on Lucas Patrick. I think it's good. If I'm guessing, I think it's a situation where you're going to see if Lucas Patrick can go. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Reed is inactive just because Lucas can go and you feel good about it. Whereas if he can't go, then you don't have a backup center. So Chris Reed would be your backup center, and Connor McGovern would probably start at center. I expect Connor to start either way. because if Lucas is active, I'm probably putting him at guard. So we'll see how that goes.
The Buccaneers also having their injury concerns with the offensive line. Center Graham Barton out for this game. That's a big hit for them. You also look at corner Christian Eysine out. Trey Palmer, wide receiver, and Jalen McMillan, Cameron Johnson, three wide receivers right there for the Buccaneers, all out. And defensive lineman Ernest Brown, dealing with a rib injury, is out for them. Questionable, Jalen McMillan, Jordan Whitehead, Antoine Winfield, Luke Getke, and Kalijah Kansi. But I'm fully expecting Kalijah to be in that mix today, finally back for them.
Yeah, I think he'll be limited. Getke, I would expect, you know, he's tough. He's been full in practice all week, but he's dealing with a concussion. So he's been out for a while with that concussion. Honestly, the one you didn't name is the most impactful, and that's Rashad White.
I was going to say the running back, doubtful, yeah.
I would not expect him to go when you're going to get a good dose of Bucky Irving and whatever else behind him. But, no, I mean, this is one of the first weeks that I felt like the Saints – are on an even playing field with the other team in terms of injuries. Other than maybe the Falcons, this is the second straight NFC South matchup that neither team had their starting center and weird. another major piece of that offensive line. So, you know, that should work to the Saints' benefit to some extent, right? Like, you should be able to generate pressure. Baker has always been a guy that I think is underrated in terms of his ability to extend plays. We saw, like, if you put Pat Mahomes at a 10 of 10 in terms of ability to extend plays, which I do,
yeah,
I'd put Baker in the 7.5 to 8 range. Like, he's up there. He's really good at it. Now, he's not as elite at it as Pat, but if you go back to that week 4 matchup last year, that was the story. It was, hey, the Saints are getting pressure. Baker's extending. There was a touchdown to Kate Otten in the first half where Cam Jordan came unblocked and Baker just found a way to make a miss and then just, like, dumped it over the top. Like, that, you can't let that happen today. So, you know, hopefully they figured something out, because that was, again, like, that was a big story last week. You know, the Saints generated pressure. We talk about their pass rush and say, hey, they're not getting home. They're getting there. They're not getting the quarterback to the ground. That's the problem. So hopefully that changes today.
Yeah, we know Baker isn't a guy that's really going to, you know, take off and run, but he does have that escapability, very mobile guy.
Yeah, he got some wiggle. I would call it wiggle.
And I would think Spencer's kind of that same type of quarterback with the wiggle. He's really not, you know, someone that's going to take off.
He is, though. Like, I want to see more of that from Spencer. When Spencer gets into trouble, I think he bails on the pocket too early, and he's not necessarily looking to extend the play. He's looking to get out and run. And I think you need a balance of that. And I think if Spencer, as he gets more and more experience, I think that's going to be more of what you see. But I kind of expect to see a guy who panics a little bit. And I'm not trying to say that in a negative way. When you're in your first career NFL start, there's going to be a little bit of that. You're going to rush a little bit. Your clock's going to get sped up. But I hope you can see more of that. I hope you can see him scrambling a little bit to extend the play, because that's how you really stress the defense. Like, running, great. Running, obviously, forces the defense to account for an extra body, and that changes the dynamic a little bit. But if you really want to snap a defense in half, force them to have to cover for 5, 6, 7 seconds and then hit someone downfield. You want to break their will, that's how you do it. Like, running for 20 yards, great. But they're like, okay, fine, you got it that time, we'll get you next time. When you do what Pat was doing to the Saints defense last week, there's no coming back from that.
You know, we did the Inside Black and Gold podcast the other day. There, you're going to get it out, right? And, you know, I mentioned, oh, these are, you know, NFC South matchups, always tight ones between the Saints. And you're like, not really between the Saints and Bucks. So I had to, I'm there going to look at some of the numbers afterwards. And it really is surprising that, you know, these typically aren't your field goal type games between these two teams.
No, I mean, there haven't been a lot of blowouts. Like, you're not talking about like 20, 30 point wins other than that one in Tampa, the 38-3 game. But 9 of the last 10 meetings between these two teams, including the playoff game, was a two score final line, right? Whether it was not like that 9-0 game, like, not a huge scoring game. You would say that was close, but it's a two-score game. You can't score nine points in one try. It's just that you could try as much as you want. It's not going to happen for you. So, no, I mean, you haven't seen these games come down to the wire. And it's interesting because the Saints have seen back-to-back, or not back-to-back, but 2 out of the last 3 games come down to the wire like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And the other element of this series that's kind of bizarre, You go back the last eight matchups, the road team has won six of the last eight games in this matchup, and that would be 7 of 8 if the Saints hadn't blown a 16-3 lead with 4 minutes to go in the 2022 season out in Tampa.
Right.
So, like, the road team has been dominating. Like, the Saints won that – they dominated that game, but they lost it. The road team has been dominating in this series, and it's hard to explain. It's kind of inexplicable. You'd think the home team would have the advantage. They have not.
Coming up at 10 a.m., folks, the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Then it'll be kickoff in the Caesars Superdome, a noontime game time right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. If you are coming to the game today, want to remind you, if you can, bring some things to support folks in the victims of Hurricane Milton. The Saints, in collaboration with the United Way and the Red Cross, are collecting essential hygiene and cleaning supplies for those affected by the storm. That'll be going on, I think, right up to the first quarter. They'll be collecting the items. Make sure you bring them to the game. Cleaning supplies, like I mentioned, hygiene items like conditioner, soap, toothpaste. You can look at all that at WWL.com. And all the gates when you get into the dome area will have that. Well, you'll be able to drop that off. You're not going to be carrying that to your seats or anything. So, obviously, folks, we've been there, done that, and we know what the folks, unfortunately, in Florida are going through right now with the effects of Hurricane Milton. And if you can, bring something to the dome today. Help out a little in this matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're here on First Take. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870, as we get ready for Bucks Saints right here on WWL. Be back after the break. Welcome back into First Take, the only sports show coming to you live from the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for a new start against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, big game. Need to snap a losing skid. Need to get a win against the division rival, the Saints. We're currently 1-1 in the NFC South, and playing a team right now in Tampa Bay that is 3-2, so they have that little bit of edge against you already. Losing to the team in the Atlanta Falcons, who are also 3-2 right now.
How about we do it like LSU did last night? Maybe a little earlier.
Man, oh, man. I don't want an overtime game, though. Maybe we can handle business in regulation.
I just like to see some of those kind of nails. Like, that's the thing. So far this season, when the Saints offense has needed a go-ahead drive late in the game or a tying drive late in the game, right, they've delivered. Right now, obviously, against the Eagles, you didn't in that second scenario, but you got it the first time.
Right.
And I'd say those are probably 50-50 propositions in most cases of, like, do you get it done? Do you not get it done? So do you get that today? And that's what LSU got last night, right? That's what they got in that final. Hey, you need a drive here. You need a touchdown. It's now or nothing. This is the ball game, and they got it done. That's what you worry about with a rookie quarterback. If you put a guy in that situation, you don't know how he's going to react. That's why I think it's important to score early today. I think, you know, those kind of planned situations where you have a plan for it, you have a script, like your first few third downs, your first few fourth downs, you know, what plays are you most comfortable with? You need to execute on those early in the game, because I think if the Saints are playing from behind, it could get long.
You know, you mentioned obviously playing. You don't want to play from behind with a rookie quarterback. And if things don't go well with Spencer Rattler, what are the Saints going to do? Clint Kubiak, the Saints offensive coordinator, was asked, what kind of leash does Rattler have on him in his first start today against the Bucs?
Yeah, you know, that's not something that I'm really worried about. I think we're worried about giving him success. And that's not something I want him to worry about either. I want him to go play the game. And if you're worried about your leash and when you're coming out, if you make a mistake, I think you're going to be in trouble. And again, that's something that I think if you make it to this level and you're playing quarterback at this level, you're probably not worried about that, because you just got to have a little swag and you go play and bad stuff happens and go to the next down. You know, same with us as an offense. You know, lose some games, who cares? Nobody. We got to go to the next play, go to the next game, and we get a chance to do it. You know, two games in a couple days here, which is great therapy. So I'm looking forward to those two.
Clint Kubiak there. Makes a ton of sense, obviously, Jeff. You don't want to be going into the game thinking, all right, it's my first start. I know I'm going to have these jitters. Things aren't always going to be a success. But if I end up doing this, and this wrong, I'm going to end up getting yanked from this game.
Yeah, and then for Clint Kubiak, that was like the equivalent of a monologue. Like, not exactly a loquacious fellow. But I did feel like there's some energy this week. I think when you're a coach in the NFL, you know, this is the type of situation that it's like, that's why you do the job. If you're not excited for this type of situation, you're not excited for this challenge,
right,
I think you need a different job. So, and I think that is kind of what we felt from him. Like, not exactly someone who's going to give you a lot, but I did feel like there was a lot of energy from him in his press conference this week. So we'll see how that goes. But no, yeah, I think think that's the right approach. Like, you shouldn't send Spencer out there thinking, man, if I struggle early on, they're not going to give me a chance to play through it. They're just going to yank me and say, hey, Jake, what you got? On the other side, that has to exist somewhere. Like, there has to be some level of a leash. You got to protect a guy from, like, hey, this is not going well. Like, you get into the third quarter and it's just not working. You have to be ready to say, hey, let's try something else. But, no, I don't think you're going into this game saying, hey, if he throws two interceptions in the first half, we got to figure it out. You're playing a young quarterback. It's not going to go perfectly. That's why I'm trying to set, like, kind of the expectation here. Like, there's going to be a lot of fans in this building very excited to see Spencer Rattler.
For sure.
And I need you to understand, like, it's not going to be this perfect kind of coronation that maybe you're hoping for. You need to see him bounce back from those mistakes, from the things that don't go well, because that's inevitable. You're going to run into adversity in an NFL game. It's not about whether you can be perfect. It's about whether you can respond when it isn't perfect. When you do throw that interception that maybe you can't control, or the ball gets tipped up, or you get a sack fumble because you didn't see a guy coming, okay, fine. You got to come back. You got to bounce back. You can't just say, well, I guess we're done now. So that's to me, that's the bigger thing. It's not, hey, Spencer, can you play perfectly? It's like, hey, Spencer, can you deal with the things that happened in this game and not lose the plot entirely? Because that's what you see happen to rookies sometimes, especially in these early career starts, that they just, you know, everything's going a mile a minute. It's kind of a whirlwind. You could very easily kind of lose track of where the path is. And so we'll see how that goes.
You know, one of the things obviously everyone talked about too going into this week, that confidence, that swagger, quote-unquote, that Spencer Rattler has. And there's something definitely about the guy, just a magnetic kind of personality or whatever draws people, fans to it. And head coach Dennis Allen and offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak made sure to mention, though, that Derek Carr and Jake Haener also have that swag factor about them.
Yeah, that is one thing that annoys me when we talk about, like, everyone's got an agenda.
You got to compliment someone, but this one's also good too.
Everyone's got an agenda when it comes to discussing quarterbacks, and it's like, being complimentary of one guy is not being negative about another guy, and that's why the coaches feel like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I just want to make sure that you know that I'm not only talking about Spencer here. But, no, I mean, there's a reason you went out and got Spencer, right? You know, obviously it was a fifth-round pick, but that was the, you know, I think if the Saints had an earlier pick, they would have considered taking him there. They'd only had fifth-round picks.
Right.
And they didn't trade up. But, you know, you brought him in. Like, there's a reason you're going with Spencer over Jake this week. And it's not because they don't like Jake. It's not because they don't feel like Jake can get the job done at the NFL level. They feel like Spencer's their guy. And this is an opportunity to see what he has. And I think the upside is there. You know, I think to some extent you were kind of shielding him from a bad situation. And that's why you went with Jake as your game day backup, because you didn't want to have to throw your high upside rookie that you really feel like, hey, this guy could be our starting quarterback someday, into that hornet's nest of Kansas City in the fourth quarter where, well, what did Jake gain from that, right? Other than a few reps, maybe some game tape, like, he's not going to look back on that opportunity fondly.
Right.
Like, that was a, okay, let's get out of here, a live situation. And I think the Saints are happy with the fact that they didn't have to throw Spencer into that situation. Now, you heard what Clint said. Like, we want to give him success. We want to give him the answers so he can go out there and have a fighting chance. And so we'll see how that goes. I really like Spencer's approach. I like his demeanor. He's got that kind of golden arm that everyone's talked about. Like, Bub Means talked about it in training camp. And I asked a lot of these young players, like, hey, what do you think of Spencer? How do you think he's developed? And everyone kind of gave the same answer of, like, y'all are going to see. Like, that dude is different. When he gets out there, you're going to see, and you're going to understand what we're seeing right now. And so I'm excited about it. Well, is this a situation where you can live with, hey, the quarterback played well, but we lost because he just wasn't ready? I don't know, but this is where you are.
Kubiak goes into more about that swag factor from Rattler and says, everyone just, you know, calm down a bit. It's not everything.
I don't want to overplay the swag thing. You know, it's a nice thing to have, but at the end of the day, are you producing? And you could have my wet blanket personality, and then it's about producing. Those guys got to produce no matter what their personality is.
Clint Kubiak dropping jokes here at press conferences. What's going on?
Basically a stand-up comedy special for the Kubiaks. But no, and I mean, I agree with him. I mean, that's just where you are. Like, you have to have that confidence. You have to feel like you can go do the job.
That's great, but are you producing? Yeah. Exactly. What are you doing on the field?
Right. It's really, yeah, if you're not producing, you could be the most – you know, affable personality. You could be the most endearing personality in the world. People are going to turn on you if you're struggling.
It's amazing how that goes.
It makes it a lot easier if you can be that way from the start and everyone is already on your side to begin with. That won't go very far if you throw a few picks early in this game. I mean, we look back the last time a rookie started in a Saints uniform, and you kind of feel for the guy because he never, again, you're talking about a guy who never got a fighting chance. That's Ian Book's story.
Right.
And his first throw of that game, even under those circumstances, his first throw of that game was a pick six. Like, that's on you, man. Like, that's not on the supporting cast. That's on you. And that's just a situation where it's like, you got to avoid those scenarios. You got to avoid the mistakes and take advantage of your opportunities. And, you know, the Saints are not used to having to deal with a rookie quarterback. So that was 2021. That was Ian Book. Before that, I want to say Danny Werfel in 1997. You know who it was before that, the last rookie to start? You should know this. He'll be here in about an hour.
No, really?
Yeah, Bobby Hebert. I want to say it was 1985. So if you go back like three decades, you've had two rookie starting quarterbacks in a Saints uniform. So that's not a lot. The Saints have not dealt with this very often.
Wow, that definitely, obviously, a huge rarity right there. Looking at the talent level of Spencer Rattler, definitely without question, I think that arm stands out. We had Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL insider, stop by Sports Talk during the week. He was calling a game. I think it was either the Panthers matchup or week two against Dallas. One of those games he was around for and got to see some of the Saints practices and really said what he got to see at Saints practice, watching Rattler, what stood out to him.
There was a difference in the way the ball came out of each of their hands. And I'm just telling you, Spencer Rattler lets it eat. Like, that guy has got some athleticism. And when he throws the ball, man, it just jumps out of his hand. And every time he was in, you know, running the scout team or whatever, and they were rotating some reps, you know, as the number twos go in and play a little bit of offense on a Friday when I'm standing out there at practice, every time he threw the ball, I was like, damn, I did not realize that Spencer had it like that. That dude can sling it.
It's definitely one of those things, Mark Schlereth talking about Spencer Rattler's arm. When you're there on the field, you know, and see him up close and personal, it definitely is different. It's definitely special.
Yeah, and I mean, what makes it so unique is he's not a big dude.
Right.
Like, he's a very average-sized quarterback. You know, you would say maybe even below average in terms of, like, I think he's, like, 6 feet. You look at a lot of quarterbacks are 6'3", 6'4", and you don't even realize it until you stand next to him. Like, oh, that's a big dude. Spencer's very much kind of a Lilliputian fellow. Like, he's not Kyler Murray. He's not small. I would put him around the same height as Drew. And so that's why when he releases the ball and it just flies out of his hand, it's like, wow. You know, he just has one of those remarkable, you know, arm cannons that help you get it done. Now, arm talent in the NFL is not everything. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of, like, Jay Cutler would be the best quarterback of all time.
Bobby also said Jeff George, you know, the best quarterback he ever saw throw a ball.
Right. I mean, like, there's a lot more that goes into playing in the NFL at the quarterback position than being able to make all the throws. But if you can't make all the throws, then that makes your processing all the more. Like, you can succeed as a quarterback. Like, look at Drew later in his career. Like, his arm was jello for the last several years, but he was so good at processing. He operated so quickly, and he understood what he was doing, and he understood where to go to the ball so fast that he was able to have success even without that top-tier arm talent as his shoulder kind of let him down, right? Now, it's a lot easier when you can start with the elite arm talent and learn everything else. But that's kind of what the question is today. Like, what's the second part of that equation? How is he seeing the field so that he can make the throws, right? You can't make the throw unless you know where it's supposed to go.
Looking at this matchup, noon start here in the Caesars Superdome. We already have action underway for Week 6. The first game of the week has kicked off. Well, that's actually not true. Thursday Night Football is the first game of the week. But the first game for Sunday has kicked off. We are in London, and they are getting to see the Chicago Bears and Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh-wee, what a matchup overseas they're treated to.
Yeah, I was asking you earlier, who do you think would win the fight, a bear or a jaguar?
I'm going with the Bear. Obviously, the Jaguar could outrun them, but I just think if you're going to go head-to-head and straight up, give me the Bear.
I think the Jaguar would get off to a hot start. I think it would get the first few blows in, but then the Bear would be like, wait, I'm a Bear. I'm going to win
Paul
this.
Coming in.
Yeah. All I need is one shot. I'm done. I got you. So that's where I'd go. But, yeah, Jaguars-Bears, not exactly a – you know, it should be a better matchup than it is for a couple number one overall picks going out to London. I think the Jaguars, you know, you talk about disappointing. You know, the Saints are in a situation where it's disappointing because you started hot, then you lost three games, you don't know where it's going to go. The Jags, I mean, going back to last season, like they got a win last week, but man, they're in a bad way.
No, and obviously everybody has concerns over the quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, and that's
not
what happened.
Everyone but Trevor, because he just got paid.
Well, that's the wild part too. He got paid without really even proving anything, but they, you know, you look at the contracts for quarterbacks and. Man, oh, man, what Trevor has accomplished versus the reward he's getting there seems one of the way askew contracts that have been handed out in recent years.
You're not going to see a lot of quarterbacks signing $50 million a year contracts in the midst of a 9-game losing streak. Let's put it that way.
Pretty amazing there for the Jags. And, yeah, once again, there in London, somehow they've adopted basically as London's team for playing there all so much.
Good for them.
That's good way to achieve that.
Happy for him.
Looking at this matchup, though, with the other team from Florida in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a tough matchup inside the division, and we talked about it a little bit, but at this point, you are kind of in that must-win situation. You're 1-1 in the division. You've lost 3 in a row, though. You have a tough week ahead, obviously, another shorty going on for you after this matchup. Boom, Thursday night, you're back at home to host the Broncos, and you don't want to fall in suddenly. Boom, you've lost your last 5 games.
5-game losing streak is tough to overcome. I would say, like, oh, when's the last time the Saints lost 5 games? But it wasn't actually that long ago, and the guy who did it for him was Sean Payton back in 2021. So Sean knows all about 5-game losing streaks, right? But, I mean, you look at that season, the fact that they finished 9-8, they gave themselves a chance at the playoffs. That was kind of a remarkable coaching job by him in the end. But that's, you know, you look back like, okay, the Saints have a 3-game losing streak, right? Over the last 10 years, going back to 2014, you know, you've had six seasons with a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Only 5 of them have completed because we're including this current one. In all 5 of those seasons, the Saints missed the playoffs. In the other 4 seasons, you didn't have a 3-game losing streak. They made the postseason. So long losing streaks are tough to come back from, man. You cannot allow them to extend much longer than this. Otherwise, it's like you're looking at, hey, maybe you can make something magical happen. But when you have to rely on that this early in the year, that's a bad season. So you got to turn it around soon, and hopefully that's today.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you drop the game to the Atlanta Falcons, the other team atop the division right now. That's tough. And you got this Tampa Bay team. You don't want to be going down a game to them early on either in the standings. But you look at this schedule for the Saints, too. We've talked about it, how top or front-loaded the NFC South slate of games has been for them because used to it towards the end of the year, and it's not like that at all this year.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of an inflection point in your season. It feels really negative. I think we feel really negative about the Saints right now because obviously they're on a 3-game losing streak, but more so because they're coming off a game against the Chiefs where it's the first time all year that I feel like they just got outplayed. Like they were in it. They didn't have a chance in that game. You know, obviously they cut it to 3 with Collins' interception, which was one of the most fantastic moments of any NFL game this year. But like it's tough when you're looking at a scenario that like, hey, I mean, we're already 2-4. We've lost 4 games in a row. It's so early in the season, but it's tough to bounce back from that. But then you look at, hey, if you can find a way to win this game, which the Bucs are in a difficult situation too, right? They've been here since Tuesday. They've been distracted. Obviously, they have that 10-day like recovery window after Thursday Night Football. But I mean, you win today, you're 3-3. You're tied with the Bucs in the division. Like you're right there. There's a lot of 3-3 teams in the NFL. The difference is oftentimes you look at the 49ers and Seahawks, for example, right? Both teams are at 3-3, but they feel like very different 3-3s, right? Like you want to be. Like, this is the point in the season where it's not over if you lose a couple games, but you got to be ascending. You cannot be descending. Like, that's where you look at the 49ers, and they played on Thursday Night Football. 49ers won, get to 3-3. It feels like, hey, they're going in the right direction. Seahawks lost. They fall to 3-3, but they've lost 3 games in a row. They won their first 3 games, and they lost their next 3 games. You feel like, man, they're going the wrong direction. And you just need to feel like you are progressing. You need to feel like, hey, we're figuring some things out. and we're finding ways to win games, not finding ways to lose games.
Like
right?
You mentioned in the podcast, pull out of that Top Gun tailspin.
Yeah. At a certain point, it becomes a death spiral, and all you can do is hit the eject button and survive in whatever way that looks. We're getting close to that point. If you lose a couple more games, it starts to feel that way. So, you know, this is the, you know, I don't know. You got to find a way to get it done, right? Rookie quarterback, a lot of injuries. You're at home. Go win a game.
We are here on First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Taking a break here. We'll be right back. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. That is 504-260-1870. Back inside the Caesars Superdome right after these messages. Be right back here on WWL. We're back here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for a noon start between the Buccaneers, who are 3-2, against the Saints, who are 2-3. And we've been diving deep into a lot of Spencer Rattler talk. Obviously, there's a lot more to this game, though.
Well, no, I mean, I think we're good. I think we were talking about the right thing. I think that's what it's going to be about.
That's the big headline, for
I
sure.
I had someone ask, like, hey, you think? How do you feel? You think the Saints are going to win this game? And I think it's like, hey, I think either Spencer's going to play well enough for you to win or he's not, right? Like, that's, to me, that's the biggest question. And then there's a lot of other questions, like, hey, who returns kicks? You know, are you going to stick with Jamal Williams? I am getting a little, and I like Jamal Williams. I'm just confused at the decision to have Jamal Williams back there. And it's not because, like, I asked Darren Rizzi about it this week, and one of the things was like, hey, you really got to realize the guy who doesn't catch the kickoff has to field or has to block, right? And I get that, but the problem is when you put Jamal back there next to Rashid, they're going to kick it to Jamal every time, so it's not Jamal who's blocking, it's Rashid who's blocking. So my thing is, like, either you put two returners back there or you take Rashid out, because there's no point in having Rashid back there if they're not going to kick it to him. That's my problem with it. Right? And I don't think Jamal's done a terrible job. He did have that one kind of goal line mistake where he wasn't sure if he had already come out or not, and they kind of messed with it. But, like, I feel like you either go with two elite returners, so they have to pick one, or you don't necessarily have either back there and you just figure it out. Because it's just – I feel like if you're going to have Rashid do all of this, if you're going to have him play, you know, 80% of the offensive snaps and be your wide receiver too and return punts, take something off of him, because I don't like the idea of sending Rashid out there when they're just going to turn him into a blocker, you know? And so, like, I don't know, you have Mason Tipton, you have other guys. If they're going to kick it to that other guy, I want that guy to be a returner, right? And at least if you put two other guys out there, you could say, hey, they have to decide which one. When you put Jamal out there next to Rashid, they're going to kick it to Jamal, and they would be foolish not to. And it's just, I just have an issue with it, because when it was Taysom Hill, I got it. Like, I understand it, because you kick it to Taysom Hill, odds are he's going to do something with that ball. Now it's like, I don't know. If I'm an opposing team and I'm like, okay, I'll kick it to Jamal and make him return it. Because, I don't know, is it like you're just trying to find something for him to do? Because that doesn't make sense to me either. Like, it just feels like they don't have a role for him, and they're just like, hey, we got to keep him busy, so we're going to have him return kicks. I don't know. That's something that I would – I have an issue with.
Looking at Shaheed, too, he was on the injury list this week dealing with a hip issue. We saw him have a few things, you know, bothering him, I know, during training camp. But Shaheed was asked pretty much, how is this injury going into this matchup against the Bucs?
I'm good. I'll be all good. Just trying to take care of this hip. And by the time game time comes around, I'll be all right.
Like to hear that. I'm good. By the time game time rolls around, I'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, that is one question I have, though. It's like, how much chemistry is there between a guy like Shaheed and Rattler? Because you look at how training camp went. And, yeah, obviously there was OTAs. They got worked together in minicamp. But, you know, Rashid was hurt for a good chunk of camp. Right, I don't think he appeared in a preseason game. He had a hamstring injury. Then I think it was a hip. I can't remember what the other injury was. Oh, a toe. He had a toe issue. So he missed a lot of time. And then even the times that he was there, Shaheed was getting the primary amount of his work with Derek.
Right,
and
obviously.
Then Jake and Spencer were splitting reps. So, I mean, I'd have to go back and check. I don't know. They may have had five reps together all the camp for whatever that was. And then this week, when you're trying to get reps, Rashid's been limited with a hip issue. So I don't know. I'm curious. How much chemistry is there really between your deep threat guy and your starting quarterback? And I think there will be a little bit more between Rattler and Olave, and maybe you're just peppering Olave with targets today and it doesn't become an issue. But that is a big question I have, is just how, like, if you get into situations where you hear the announcer say, oh, they weren't on the same page over and over and over again, that's a sign of that. That's a sign of, like, hey, they haven't worked together enough to read situations the same way. right? Like he thinks he's going to zig and Rashid thinks he's going to zag and that sort of thing. That's the type of thing that you take for granted when you have a veteran quarterback who's worked with a guy for a while. And, you know, obviously Derek Carr hasn't had years and years with these guys, but he did have an entire season. And I think, again, with these deep balls, a lot of it is kind of touch and understanding and, like, knowing where to put the ball and let him run under it. To Rattler's credit, I did ask Shahid, hey, does he throw a good deep ball? How do you feel like that you have connected? And he said, yeah, he puts a lot of air under it. That's what he likes because he's the type of guy who can go run under it. The mistake you make when you're throwing a deep ball is you try to put it on a line and you don't allow the guy who can run faster than anyone else on the field to make that adjustment. Right, when you put a lot of air under it and you let him make that decision of what pace he needs to go, then you give yourself a better chance. So we'll see. You know, if they hit on a couple deep shots, then I'll be like, oh, okay, I was wrong. But I don't know. I see that as a little bit of a concern.
Definitely looking forward to seeing how this all plays out. We do love that clip, too, of I guess it was training camp when it talked about Chris Olave. Yeah. And basically Spencer was like, I just know I got to get the ball to him.
I have a feeling Chris is going to get more than four targets today. Let's put it that way.
I hope so for my fantasy team's sake.
Yeah, there you go.
Taking a break here on First Take. We'll be back with more, so stay tuned right after this here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. We are in the Caesar Superdome getting ready for that noon start between the Saints and Buccaneers. Week 6 action right here on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the Odyssey app. 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon will be stopping by for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, as we get ready for things on the Saints radio network. And obviously a major matchup in week 6 here. You're coming off a tough game in Kansas City, and it really does feel like you just played the other day. I don't know how the guys do this where it's that such a quick turnaround. And obviously they're going to be doing that again this week where you're playing Sunday and then bam, you're going to blink and Thursday night football will be here.
Yeah, I don't know if the average person kind of takes into consideration just how difficult that is. Like, it's hard enough to play on a full week.
A full week,
you,
right.
You take a day away and suddenly it's like, man, everything is sped up. Your recovery, you don't have enough time. And then you add Thursday on top of that. Like, playing on a short week from Monday to Sunday feels difficult. Like, playing on Thursday feels impossible. And that's why, like, I actually think the Saints kind of benefit from that being a Thursday game against Sean. Because, I don't know, I feel like if the Broncos were in the situation the Bucs are in right now and you give Sean 10 days to come up with whatever plan he wanted against the defense that he kind of knows, I would be a lot more worried. But either way, no, this is going to be a challenge. I mean, like, we can't overstate how difficult that is to do for a team.
We're going to be back with more First Take here from quarterback Spencer Rattler, plus our main man, Deuce McAllister's take on the QB, also his keys to the game. Coming up with more First Take after this break for the top of the hour news on WWE.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak as we gear up for a noon kickoff between the Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is Spencer Rattler Day, everybody. Derek Carr out with an oblique injury, so the rookie getting his first start of his career today against a division rival. Big game, obviously, for the Saints. I think they're all big in the NFL. I laugh when I hear, you know, must win. I feel like every week is a must win because they're so limited in the NFL. Every week is so important.
Yeah, I mean, there's only 17 games, right? Like, you could say it's funny. You look at it like, oh, it's still early. Not really.
No, it's not. I don't want to hear that either.
You're a quarter of the way into the season. Like, it's going to be over before you know it. It always amazes me how quickly the first half of the season goes by. And especially this type of season, because the first two games and the last three games feel so disassociated from each another. They almost feel like two different seasons. Because like after week two, everyone was anointing the Saints, like, oh, they might be a Super Bowl team and the best offense in the NFL, 91 points, 40 points a game. And then, whoa, that didn't go well. But you know, a lot of that's the offensive line. I think, you know, you look around the NFL and the good teams are typically the ones that can protect their quarterback, all right? And, you know, so there's some exceptions. Like if you have a guy like Lamar Jackson, sometimes you can get away with some shoddy offensive line protection. And, you know, I think maybe that's part of the reason you feel like, hey, this is a better scenario for Spencer than it might have been for Derek, because he can move around. He can be mobile. He can turn some third and mediums into first downs, even though the play breaks down. He can get a couple yards. And I guarantee you the first time that happens today, and it'll happen at least once, the stadium's going to go nuts. They'll be like, this is what we've been waiting for. And I don't know if that's true that is, but yeah, it's going to be something. You got to find ways. Like, that's been what I think, you know, until you desperately need it, you have not been able to find ways on offense in weeks 3 and 5 and week 4. As you look back on that week 4 game, the offense played really well. Especially when you look at the numbers, you look at the third down numbers in particular, they were good. But I just need efficiency. I need to eliminate mistakes. I need to eliminate just silly turnovers. I think the way Deuce put it is, like, I need to make my life as easy as possible on Spencer Rattler today.
You mentioned Deuce. Here's what he had to say about Spencer Rattler making his first start against Tampa.
For him, don't allow the moment to get too big, but enjoy the moment. It's your first start. It's your first start. So you should embrace it. But I've got to be able to focus on football, too. The one thing that you don't want to do is get in the huddle. And I got 10 other guys looking at me like, come on, man, give me the play. You know, what's the play? And so for him to go in and have command of the huddle, and he will, I feel fair. Now, I've never been with this staff, so I don't know. I feel fairly confident in him having the first maybe 10 plays, 12 plays. And they may not be in order, but, hey, this situation, this is what we're going with. Third down, this is where we're going with. You know, fourth down call, XYZ, this is what we're going with. I want you to focus on this. When you get this look, this is where I want your eyes to go. Not to say I want you to force a football to any certain player, but get the football to your playmakers. The job of the other 10 players that are on that field with him is to make his job easy. I need to do my job. So I don't need to go and hold, line up in the, you know, have a false start, have an illegal motion, hands to the face, whatever it could be. I don't need to make it harder on him, because I'm really making it harder on myself. How can we make it easy as possible for him? Because from a looks standpoint, you're going to see 4 strong. So that's 4 strong to the tight end side. So that'll be a safety. That's going to be a 2 backers. There will be 4 strong coming to that side. You're going to see it. You'll have 4 weak. So just flip it to the other side. The free safety, a linebacker, and a nickel guy. Somebody's going to be hot. Somebody's going to be unblocked. And for the Saints, what's the answer? How do I answer that? What am I giving him to be able to answer that puzzle? Because when it happens, Tampa's going to say, okay, this is what he did this time. This is what he did that time. Now, you're going to get that same look. Double A gap. 2 linebackers right over the center. 1 on the left side, 1 on the right. How's he going to handle that? Now, one of them engaged, but he drops out. So it's a zone blitz. They only send 5, so it's a fire. It looked just like the other blitz, where it looked like one side was heavy, a load left, a load right, and they come, but it's only 5 guys. What they want you to do as a quarterback is speed up the clock and think that there is a free hitter every time, when in certain situations there won't be. He's got to have multiple answers where it's 1 to 2, to here's my check now. That's where he's got to be able to go. And so the Saints can help him by moving the pocket. They can move the pocket a little bit. That'll help. But when you do move the pocket, that normally shortens the field. So now you have only the left side of the field or the right side of the field to play with. So everything's condensed. And you can say, well, people say, well, he's mobile. He's mobile. Yeah, he's mobile. He get hit one time the right way, he won't be mobile much longer. You know, and so for him, there will be opportunities where you run, but running can't be the first thing that you're thinking, because that's exactly what Tampa wants you to do. Right. They feel like that if you run, you're taking away some of the options down the field. The other part of it, and I don't even know the Saints' game plan, but if I'm Tampa, what do you think they're thinking? They're going to throw it hot. They're going to throw it quick. Tampa's like, okay, cool. we're going to rally the football. We want you to throw it short. We feel like your guy cannot make anybody miss. And we can basically tackle you for 2 yards, 3 yards, and we're getting off the field. They'll load the box to say, okay, Saints, we have 7 or 8 in the box. You can't run against this look. And probably the Saints will say, yeah, I agree with you. We can't block that look. But sometimes the Saints are going to have to be hard-headed and say, yep, we have an answer to be able to block that look. The only way that you stop them from doing some of that, you've got to hit them downfield. You've got to be able to win some one-on-one matchups down the field. And I'm not talking about 40 yards, 60 yards down the field. It may be 10. It may be 15. Sometimes it may be 7 or 8 where it's off coverage and my guy runs a hitch, he runs a slant, he may run a hitch and go. You know, and my quarterback buys a little time and he hits him and crank the band up. But, I mean, we will see all of that, and we will probably see it all early.
That was Deuce McAllister breaking down what we can expect or hope to see, at least, from Spencer Rattler at quarterback for the Saints, making his first career start, the Saints' fifth-round pick in the NFL draft. When it happened, a lot of folks looked at it as a potential steal in this year's class, considering, obviously, those quarterbacks going early on. And Rattler seemed to kind of get forgot about, I guess, because everybody else was set at their quarterback position. And the Saints able to scoop him up really in the later rounds. I think he was expected to be a day two pick.
Yeah, I think you look at it and say it's a fifth round pick that, you know, you don't, it's not your typical fifth round pick because there's really no reason for there to be, what, 150 selections between the quarterback taken at number 12, what, J.J. McCarthy, and then the quarterback taken, or was it Bo Nix? I can't remember. And then Spencer in the fifth round. Like,
that's,
they were a
wild,
lot,
right?
They were a lot closer than that. We saw them at the Senior Bowl together. I didn't see that much separation between them. And yeah, a lot of it came down to, hey, I think there was maybe some red flags about Spencer that I don't need to take in. And were those red flags legitimate? I don't know. It doesn't seem like they were, at least not from what I've seen. So, yeah, I think the Saints have, there's a chance they benefited from that. But I will tell you what, the Bucs are not going to say, hey, I think this guy might be good. They're going to say, hey, we're going to send the, you're going to throw the kitchen sink at him and see what he does with it.
When you say the red flags, is it the concern over the Netflix documentary
stuff? It was all
the
stuff that came up during the draft. Like, Ian Rappaport talked about it. Like, it was kind of foolish, but that's the type of stuff.
From a 17-year-old, right?
That's the type of stuff you overanalyze in the draft process. You got nothing else to do. You might as well look at everything. And, you know, if you're a team that doesn't necessarily need a quarterback and you're like, eh, why? And I don't know. The Saints aren't mad about it because they ended up getting him in the fifth round.
The biggest legitimate red flag to me, I think, obviously, is turnovers. And you look at that, and Spencer Rattler definitely had a higher rate of interceptions in college that you don't really look at and as a positive for him. But the attitude issues that you saw from a Netflix series from a 17-year-old kid,
I don't see that.
That,
yeah,
to me, doesn't weigh into any factor for him.
No, I don't think that. No one's talking about that. I mean, we're talking about it, but no one else is talking about it in terms of like, oh, how's that going to affect him today? No, I mean, what we're hearing from everyone is that he's been an excellent leader, that he's fit into that locker room, that he relates to his teammates, that he does all the things you need a starting quarterback to do. And, you know, that's not a given. You know, that can come, that can go. Like, you don't see the same level of leadership from everybody. But it sounds like he's got that. So I think the Saints are, you know, I don't think that's going to be the issue today. Let's put it that way. I don't think if Spencer struggles, it's not going to be because, oh, he can't relate to his teammates. And he's like, they don't want to play for
right,
him.
Right, yeah, exactly. They don't want to work for him. They don't want to play.
That's not the issue.
We are here at the Caesars Superdome getting ready for that noon kickoff with Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister taking over to bring you the local call. Also, 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon cranks up the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. How you feeling about this start today for Spencer Rattler against division rival Tampa Bay? Going to Tony from down under in Australia. Tony, what you got for us today on First Take?
What's up, man? Hey, how you doing, Jeff? I'm interested to see how Rattler goes. I hope he doesn't hold onto the ball too long. And he just, you know, the check downs. 7 yards, like I heard Deuce just talk about, 7 yards, doesn't have to be big chunks. 7 yards for a first down, then you only got to get 3, you know? So you can move up the ground. You don't have to take it in big chunks.
Right, exactly. You don't need to, you know, kill him with these 30, 40-yard gashes.
No, no. All you got to do is move the chains. If you're constantly moving the chains, that means you're controlling the ball. You control the ball, you control the game.
Looking at this run game, Tony, for the black and gold, definitely think it's going to be a huge factor in this matchup. What have you thought of Alvin Kamara this season? Because obviously there was a lot of questions, him dealing with, you know, contract negotiations. But, man, oh, man, guy just giving it out 100% every time for the game and all about this team, really impressing this season. And hopefully he can continue dealing with a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, well, the O-line's got to create the gaps for him to run through.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I can't argue with that one bit. When you look at this O-line blocking for whoever is running the football, and it's been mostly Alvin. I'm hoping, and I've mentioned this before, I'm waiting for more involvement from Jamal Williams.
I'm waiting for more involvement from Kendre Miller.
Could happen today, obviously.
That's what I'm hoping to see. And I'm curious how much he's going to get on the field. You know, obviously, you know, it's a good sign that they activated him. It's a sign that they're feeling comfortable with him in the offense. That was always the question of, like, Okay, has he been able to pick it up? Do you feel comfortable with him in pass protection? Because here's the thing. You can't get him on the field unless you can do everything you need to do with him, because otherwise it's a tell. If you put him on the field and the other team feels like, hey, we know that they're not comfortable with him protecting the quarterback, then they know what to run, right? So we'll see how that goes. And I just think you need a punch. You need something on the ground. And that's something that they, you know, when this offense has played well, they've run the football well. When this offense has not played well, they have not been able to run the football. It's really been that simple.
Right. You mentioned a punch, and obviously one of those big punches is not playing in Taysom Hill. And you meant for the run game, obviously, too. That is so huge.
No, I mean, there's no question, right? In the three games, I have it here. So in the Saints' two most frustrating offensive performances, that's Eagles and Chiefs, Alvin has managed just 113 rushing yards on 37 carries, 3.1 yards per carry. In the other three games, 275 yards, 5 touchdowns on 54 carries, 5.1 yards per carry. When you can do that, you can establish the play action, you can slow down the pass rush, and you can hit deep. It's you know, like, we can overtalk football all we want, we can overcomplicate this thing all we want. It's that simple. If you can establish the run, it makes your life way easier on offense.
Appreciate the call, Tony. Thank you for calling us. We're going to take a break. Want to hear from you on First Take, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with more. We're inside the Caesars Superdome, sitting at Loge level on the Gate B. That's when the Bud Light countdown to kickoff will be starting up with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert come 10 a.m., then a noon start right here on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the Odyssey app. Be back with more First Take after this here on WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to First Take, the Spencer Rattler Show, about to kick off at noon here against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to remind folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donation is at $10,000. $10,060. That's the total receiving yards for the Saints this season. Looking at the black and gold, Sam from Gretna calling in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line. Jeff saying, we're not playing Atlanta or Dallas. Let's give the Bucs fans a warm welcome. They're not the enemy. They are an opponent. We in Louisiana know what they're going through right now with the hurricane. And obviously, yes, the Saints also partnering up, asking for bring any kind of supplies you can, whether it's hygiene or cleaning supplies, to the game and drop it off. That's available to send over to Florida. And, you know, like the text mentioned, we know everything they've been going through. Yeah. Been used to that.
Yeah, we'll help them out in the pregame. We will be as empathetic as possible, and then we will make every concerted effort to beat them to a pulp throughout the course of the game. That's how you do it. You
can't. Yeah, no offense.
No offense. This is not a game where I can feel bad for you. The Saints need to win this game, and you know something that has kind of caught my attention over the last 3 weeks that you know there's some variety to it. Like there's some nuance to it, but the Saints' third down defense has just not been good enough. And it really became apparent last week against the Chiefs. And, you know, we can talk about the red zone defense. And one thing that the Saints have been doing well, they've been getting stops in the red zone. They're number one in the NFL in terms of not allowing touchdowns in the red zone. They've only allowed touchdowns on 25% of the trips into the red zone. For perspective, this was a pretty good red zone defense last year. They allowed about 51%. And that's like kind of middle of the pack. That's like top 10 range is 51%. Saints are at 25% right now. But when you look at the third down defense, and like last week you could look at the overall numbers and say, oh, there were 6 for 14. That's not terrible, right? You're talking like high 30s, low 40%. But when you look at the situational third downs, they faced 8 third downs in situations where they could have, if they had gotten a stop, forced a punt, right? So 8 of the 14 third down opportunities, 6 of them came in the red zone where they're already in field goal range and they're going to play a little bit more conservatively. 8 of them came outside of that range and they allowed conversions on 6 of them. One of those 2 that you didn't allow a conversion on third down was the second and 34 possession where you actually allowed a conversion on fourth down. So when you look at it,
right,
you say 7 out of the 8 times in that game that you could have forced a punt, you were unable to do it. And that's how you lose the time of possession by 20 minutes. That's how you face 81 plays to your 51 on offense, right? That's the difference between being gassed at the end of the game and playing your best at the end of the game. You need your defense to show up and make a stop on that final possession. You've been on the field the whole game. So that's a problem. And I asked Joe Woods about it earlier this week, Saints defensive coordinator, and I believe we have that clip queued up.
It's been an issue, something we actually addressed this morning with the whole group. But it's really tackling the quarterback, too many missed tackles. I know there was we played Philly, we missed a tackle. We took 13 more plays, and we would have been off the field. So those plays add up. You know, we might have took 50, 60 extra plays just because we simply missed a tackle. We didn't get the quarterback down. We had him in our grasp. So it's really more of us just finishing in space. And, again, we watched several plays today in the meeting. On third down.
That's Joe Woods, Saints defensive coordinator right there.
No, and that's a problem. And, like, you know, we can look at the total points. We can look at this. We can look at that. Like, those body blows throughout the course of a game, and in a close game, those can be the difference, right? That's 3 points in a game that you know, came down to a field goal, right? In the first 2 weeks, the Saints dominated. And you can look at these overall season numbers, and they're hard to gauge at this point because – you were so dominant in weeks 1 and 2,
right,
that even the 3-game losing streak numbers, which had not been good, they don't look as bad in the season-long numbers. But weeks 1 and 2, you held opponents to 30% on third down. That is elite. That is top 5 probably in the NFL if you could keep that season long. Over the last 3 weeks, it's been 16 of 39, which is about 41%. Right, and that's you need to split that difference. I need you to be somewhere around 35%, 36%, because you know that's the difference between, hey, we got off the field and we forced their defense to work a lot harder than ours, and we kept our defense on the field the entire game, and we're in the fourth quarter and our pass rush doesn't have the teeth that it needs to get Kirk Cousins to the ground in those critical moments, right? And it comes down to a lot of things. And it's not only third down. That's the other thing. It's not just, okay, you need to make that tackle on third down. You need to get this. A lot of times it's second down. Like you force an incompletion on first down. Second down, you need to get that stop so that you can force a third and long. Instead, you miss a tackle in the backfield, and instead of second and 12 or instead of third and 12, it's third and 7, and it's a much easier scenario, right? And it comes down to missed tackles. It comes down to pressure, not turning into sacks, not ending a play. And so to me, that's the biggest thing. It's like you need to get that other offense off the field. You need to see their punter. I need to see punters a lot more than I've seen punters, and not necessarily the Saints punter. I want to see the other team's punter. I'm tired of talking about the Saints punter.
What'll be interesting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their run game hasn't been very impressive, and we don't know how well Rashad White's doing this game. He's doubtful, right? That were questionable for this matchup.
Doubtful, which is like in today's NFL, that's basically you're out, right?
Yeah. So you're going to be getting a heavy dose of Bucky Irving. Has done pretty well. I'm looking here, 44 carries, 247 yards, averaging 5.6 a carry. He has just one touchdown on the year, though. Does have a fumble, one that he lost as well. So hopefully Saints can get to him to turn over that football. And other than that, the other you know, rusher on this team for the Bucs has been Baker Mayfield. And obviously, we don't want to see a quarterback taking off against this team. We know that, QBs, mobile QBs, have had success in the past. Even Baker had success in that first meeting against the Saints a year ago.
Yeah, but they did take care of him a lot better in that second matchup.
Right.
So, you know, and what the biggest difference in that second matchup is you were able to generate interior pressure. Right, you were able to kind of collapse the pocket from the middle. Brian Brzee, in particular, had a great game that day. I thought Colin Saunders had a really good day against the Chiefs. Maybe that was kind of that burst of energy of the, you know, the whole Chiefs dynamic of it.
Sure.
But it would be really nice if you could get some bigger performances out of him. Obviously, he missed the first 3 weeks. I think he was kind of working his way back into the flow of things in week four. I wouldn't say that was his best game. But if you can get some more performances like that out of Colin that you got last week, I actually think this defensive line looks, you know, it's formidable. And you know, I know you gave me grief, but I'm like, Peyton Turner's back. Whoop-de-doo. I think Peyton Turner's been good. I think Peyton Turner has been one of the more effective pass rushers on this team, especially when you work him in with that rotation with Carl and Chase Young. And so, you know, like last week with Peyton Turner out, Cam Jordan got 45 snaps. I wouldn't say he impacted the quarterback all that much.
Right.
But you go back to week four, and look who it is getting that strip sack in the, against the Falcons deep in Saints territory. Should have been a fumble turnover for the Saints going the other way if you could have just grabbed it. But, no, I think he's a guy that, you know, you put him on the field in spot situations and he can make an impact. And, you know, you can never have too many players that can affect a game at a particular moment. So I'm hopeful he can get out there. I'm hopeful he can keep impacting the game.
No, obviously I give you grief about Peyton Turner just because of his
–
yeah, the injury issue has just been brutal. And I was like, okay, great. He made that play last game and then it was, oh, he's on the injury report.
I get it. But at the same time, like the thing on Peyton is like, okay, he gets hurt. He never plays. But, you know, you guys get hurt throughout the course of a season. You miss a game. I need you to come back. I need you to get back.
No, like, right, for sure.
I'm not going to give guys grief for getting hurt and missing a game or two. I'm going to give guys grief for getting hurt and missing 5, 6, 7, 8 games, right? So it's nice to see him kind of work through an injury and get back because that's been the biggest issue for him throughout his career. It hasn't been getting on the field and being productive. It has been getting on the field and being able to play.
Talking about guys playing and being productive, I think Marshawn Lattimore's had a pretty darn good season, and I think a lot of teams really aren't even looking his way in these matchups, but obviously a big one today when you had the likes of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin lined up on the other side.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I do, you know, you look at Marshawn, and Marshawn's playing well, but I do think part of it is, hey, you know, we have the choice between throwing at Marshawn Lattimore or throwing at Paulson Adebo, and at this point in the season,
right,
teams have seemed a lot more comfortable peppering Paulson Adebo with targets than testing Marshawn at all. And what I'll say for this matchup is I don't think Baker's going to do that. And what we saw last year is Baker is going to throw to Mike Evans. He's going to do it. I don't care who's on him.
Right.
And in week four last year, you know, I would say that's the first time that I can recall watching a game where I felt like Marshawn didn't win that matchup with Mike Evans. He wasn't there in week 17, so we don't necessarily know how Baker would have approached that matchup. But I expect, you know, I think Baker's going to go at him. I don't think Baker's going to be the guy that says, hey, I'm not going to throw to my star receiver because you got your star cornerback on him.
For sure. We can beat you.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be a big week for Marshawn. And, you know, he's typically showed up in these matchups, and he's playing well. So, you know, if he can shut down Mike and force the Bucs to have to change plan, they don't have Trey Palmer today, who played pretty well against the Saints in those two games last year. He had that touchdown right before halftime last year. So, you know, if you can take away Mike Evans with Marshawn and then just figure out something on Chris Godwin, I like their chances. But it's going to come down to that. I need Marshawn to win that matchup.
Yeah, Cade Otton, another weapon they have. That's their tight end. Been a little active. 17 receptions, 148 yards. There are no touchdowns on the year for him. We've seen the Saints struggle with some tight ends, except for everyone like you. Well, you like to mention, except for Kyle Pitts.
As long as that tight end is named Kyle Pitts, the Saints are fine against tight ends. Any other tight end matchup, they seem to have struggled with. Whether it's Cole Kmet, whether it's who's the Lions? The Lions tight end.
Oh, Laporta.
Laporta. T.J. Hockenson, right?
Ooh, it's
Dallas Goedert. It seems like a Travis Kelce. Even Noah Gray, right? Like, it seems like every tight end they face goes off except for Kyle Pitts. I don't know why. It's just a matchup they enjoy. But, no, I mean, that's obviously anytime you go into a matchup, you got to watch that tight end because for whatever reason, the Saints have just struggled to take them away. And maybe that's part of like, hey, we're going to take away the outsides. We're going to force you to operate over the middle. And teams have been executing, right? And so who knows? I mean, the Dallas Goedert game is tough to gauge because, you know, you give up a 61-yard catch and run when three defenders run into each other. You're double-teaming the guy on that play,
right,
and he still gets 61 yards because of a mistake. So, yeah, it's not that they're not trying to take away tight ends. It's just, you know, I think maybe this scheme is a little susceptible to the tight end position.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see this team going up against this Bucs squad. The secondary will definitely be tested a heck of a lot. I'm just curious to see how the Bucs try to implement their run game because, obviously, you know, I don't think a lot of people know who the heck Bucky Irving is.
No, he's a rookie at Oregon, right?
Right.
I say Oregon.
Yeah.
No, and he's been good. He's been good. He put the ball on the ground last week. I think they'd like to force some turnovers, punch the ball out.
We like that, for sure.
That's something we haven't really seen is forced turnovers, right? Like last week you had the interception, but it was more like, you know, that's not true, right? You call that a forced turnover because Paulson Adebo knocked it away.
Right.
But it wasn't like, you're not seeing those like kind of Peanut Tillman punch outs like you saw in week one with Tyrann Mathieu. You know, even the two Paulson Adebo interceptions, it's more about the quarterback or a receiver slipping and then the ball kind of just finding Paulson Adebo. You know, I need to force turnovers. I need to see this defense getting their hands to the ball. It's something they did more last year throughout the course of the season. And I don't know if you've seen it as much as you want to this year. And in a game where, you know, you're a little under leveraged, like you feel like there's a lot going against you in the sense of health, you know, your rookie quarterback, those turnovers, those big, you know, special teams touchdown, right? Like a kick return, a punt return touchdown, those can be the difference in the game. So I'm hoping that that we look back on this game tonight and we're like, yeah, we did it. We got those plays. Those plays that went against us in these games that we lost, these close games that we lost, they went for us today.
We mentioned health-wise, no Pete Werner today, but we do expect Willie Gay to be in the mix.
Yeah, and that's a good sign. I'm interested to see how he handles that hand injury. Like, he's probably have a wrap on it of some kind.
I would think so, too,
but
right?
No, it's good to have him back. I think the linebacker position was a problem last week.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to hear some of Deuce McAllister's keys to the game against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers squad. Kickoff coming in high noon right here on WWL on the Odyssey app. 10 a.m., though, the Cajun Cannon kicks off the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. So keep it locked right here on WWL. Be back after the break. Welcome back into First Take, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. Make sure you checked out going into this matchup. A noon kickoff here in the Caesars Superdome on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. The Saints find themselves 3.5-point underdogs in their own house.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously a change. That's a post-Derek Carr injury change. I think the line actually came down for a while after.
Initially, we're 2.5-point favorites.
Exactly. When you go to a rookie quarterback, that changes. But that is what it is. I think the second bettors see, hey, rookie quarterback, we'll go for the other side. Now, you know, I can't blame them because the reason I say, hey, history is not on your side here is because it's not. Because even the good quarterbacks, the good rookie quarterbacks, typically struggle early on in their careers.
Definitely a tough NFC South matchup. Here are some of Deuce McAllister's keys to this matchup against the 3-2 Buccaneers.
Well, this defense has to be good, but they've got to get some turnovers.
Yes.
We talked about that against Kansas City, and we weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. You have got to get some turnovers, and Tampa's struggling as far as running back-wise, just like the Saints are. Irving is a good back, but, I mean, at the same time, he's put the ball on the – I mean, that's the Atlanta game. He put it on the ground against him, and so the Saints defense has to be elite. You have to be good again like you were in the red zone or like you've been, but the Saints defense can't give up explosive plays. When you look at the last couple of games, that's been the issue with the Saints defense. It's explosive plays, and some of the explosive plays are because of penalties. But the Saints have to be better on third down, period. You have to be better on third down. I don't care if it's third and long, third and short, third and medium. Saints have to be better third down. Saints offense, you've got to move the ball, and you've got to hit some explosive plays. You've got to hit some explosive plays, and you got to be able to move the ball. I don't think the Saints offense has to do anything that you haven't done this year. You got to play clean football. It's hard to win any game if you have two turnovers and, you know, you have offensively alone, you have 6 or 7 penalties. That's hard. Not even putting a rookie into that equation. So special teams has to win. You've got to be able to win the field position game, that battle. And Saints defense, you've got to come up with at least 1 to 2 turnovers to give yourself a shot.
Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister there with his, some of his keys to this matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And something, yeah, obviously he mentioned right there, third downs got to be better, Jeff. We just had, you know, brought that up.
Yep, third downs, turnovers. Like the first 2 weeks, I think you were plus +3 in the turnover margin. The last 3 weeks, you have been even. Yeah. You have not really gotten the edge in any of these games. So, yeah, I mean, those are the kind of swings throughout the course of a game where, hey, they get first down, first down, first down, first down. You can't get off the field, and suddenly you're feeling hopeless, right?
Yeah, the game against with the Falcons and just giving them those two touchdowns was obviously a huge hit, and you felt that air being taken out.
Oh, yeah.
In the matchup, and really disappointing. And hopefully, you know, you can't do that with any quarterback, but to have a rookie under center today, every mistake is just going to be magnified even more.
Yeah, I think this is a game where if you can get out and play from ahead, play on your terms, kind of take them out of their game plan, I think you give yourself a good shot. If you get behind like you have basically every game, right? Or at least the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, right.
If you get behind early, and I guess the Eagles game doesn't count, but I guess the Falcons and the Chiefs games. If you get behind early because of your own mistakes, that you're just shooting yourself in the foot and you're not really giving yourself a shot. This is not going to be a game that the Saints get behind double digits and rally in the second half. It's going to be a game where they either play it on their terms or they lose it on the Bucs' terms.
Yeah, the Buccaneers offense and the Atlanta Falcons were basically, you know, hit haymakers back and forth with each other last week. The Falcons able to come up ahead in the end in that one. A big surprising loss for the Buccaneers. You know, they're reeling from that still. They're dealing with their own issues right now. Having to evacuate from hurricanes, so they've been the displaced team. I know the Saints are used to being in those shoes, but all week spending at the, you know, Tulane Juhlman Stadium, getting prepared for this one. We're going to be kicking it off at noon in the Caesars Superdome right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. And after First Take, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up soon with the Cajun Cannon. We're going to take a break, though, and be right back before we send things off to that right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?
You know, it's something you work toward your whole life. You know, as a kid, very fortunate to be in this position. It sucks that Derek got hurt, you know, our leader of our team, one of the best dudes in the building. But, you know, have a job to do. Got to go out there and execute at a high level.
That's Saints starting quarterback for today's matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rookie Spencer Rattler, the fifth-round pick, obviously spent time at Oklahoma, then South Carolina. Now on the Saints and starting against a division rival. Huge game for this team. We've been talking about it, obviously looking to put an end to a three-game skid after a really, you know, fiery start to the year where everybody was so excited. And it's been a bit of a bummer, obviously, the last three outings for this squad. Can they bounce back today?
I hope so. I sure hope so. And no, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the kids got, right? Like, it doesn't take that long to kind of feel like you know whether someone's got it or not.
Right.
Right? Like, even if it doesn't necessarily go well, you can kind of watch and see, like, okay, he can handle himself or he can't. And we'll find out. You know, I think those first few drives are going to be important. Like, you gotta be smart. You got to take advantage of it. And again, if they can do that, they can score early in the way that they were unable to against the Chiefs and kind of play from in front. I like what Clint Kubiak's going to be able to do, right? If you're playing from behind and the defense is able to tee off against an undermanned offensive line, it's going to be rough. But no, I'm excited. We should all be excited. This is an exciting moment, right? You're going to get to see what the kid has.
Well, plus everybody's been asking for it, I feel like, too.
Yeah.
What's really exciting, time for Saints fans to help out with the folks in Florida. The Saints are partnering up with the United Way and the Red Cross and asking fans coming to the game if you can bring any essential hygiene or cleaning supplies for those affected by the storms. They're collecting stuff until the end of the first quarter, and then we'll be loading stuff on a truck during the second quarter and sending it off to Florida. And when I mentioned cleaning supplies, things like garbage bags, gloves, Clorox wipes, tarps, paper towels, hygiene items like shampoo, conditioner, soap, toothpaste, you know, all the essential things that are lacking when you're dealing with hurricane recovery. You can bring that to all the gates. They'll be collecting that for folks. Like I mentioned, Saints fans wanting to contribute, just bring stuff to the game. They'll be collecting that at the gates. We're going to be handing things over to the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, the Cajun Cannon in the house as we get ready for this noon kickoff. And Jeff, you'll be heading to the sidelines. Thanks for joining us, folks. Enjoy your company as we get ready for Saints Buccaneers right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stay tuned for more.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.